mind expressed, what heart heard of, ghost guessed. It is the blight man was born for, it is Margaret you mourn for.
A Cultural History of Weeping was presented by Thomas Dixon, with readings by Peter Marinker. The producer was Natalie Steed, and the programme was first broadcast here on Radio 3 in January. Tomorrow night, Will Self on Modernism. Modernism Redux is at 10:15 tomorrow evening.
This summer, dip in to the BBC Proms. Featuring star soloists Joyce DiDonato and Nigel Kennedy, this year's Last Night of the Proms promises a diverse showcase of music. From rarely heard masterpieces and brand new work to Broadway and classical favourites. The BBC Proms, alive with music. Last Night of the Proms, Saturday night at 7:30, live on BBC Radio 3.
This is BBC Radio 3. It's now 10:15. At 9:45 tonight, Nick Luscombe will be here with Thursday's Late Junction. But before that, it's time for us to return to South Kensington as Catherine Bott presents the second of this evening's proms.
Welcome back to the Royal Albert Hall, an implausibly grandiose setting for an intimate Schubertiade, you might think. But for the next hour, we're putting ourselves happily in the hands of two alchemists of the piano, whose playing will draw us into Schubert's sound world, Imogen Cooper and Paul Lewis. They'll be ending this late night prom with a performance of his grand duo, regarded by some as a symphony in disguise. But to begin, Imogen Cooper plays the first of the three solo sonatas written in the last year of Schubert's life as his final illness took hold, the turbulent sonata in C minor. After Schubert's death at the age of just 31, his friend, the painter Moritz von Schwind, said of him that each morning he composed something beautiful. Each evening he found the most enthusiastic admirers. Well, we're all here now to play Schubert's sonata, Deutsch number 958. Please welcome Imogen Cooper.
Thank you. Thank you.
Imogen Cooper played Schubert's Sonata in C minor, D958, the first of three written in a fever of creativity in September 1828. Schubert had less than 2 months to live. Interviewed recently about tonight's programme, Imogen Cooper said of the sonata we've just heard, "For me, it's the obvious one to play in the Royal Albert Hall. It's the biggest in sound world." And asked what speaks most strongly to her in Schubert's music, she replied, "His humanity. He speaks from the heart, and there's dark as well as light. For many years, people thought he was a composer only of pretty songs. But his bigger works are quite uncomfortable. They go deep and are disturbing, sometimes destabilizing. Almost always, there is somewhere, some ray of light. It's this juxtaposition I find heart-stopping." And the enthusiastic reception of tonight's large Proms audience here in the Royal Albert Hall, I think, indicates that we've all found it pretty heart-stopping as well. She's marking, Imogen Cooper, the 40th anniversary of her Prom debut, with two appearances this season. She's already played Britain in a Proms chamber music concert. So now we move from the sombre grottos of C minor to the sunnier uplands of C major, as Imogen Cooper is joined by her friend and fellow Schubertian, Paul Lewis, for a performance of the sonata D812, written in 1824 and nicknamed the Grand Duo. Originally conceived for piano duet, we're going to hear it tonight played on two pianos. When we spoke this morning, I asked Imogen why she and Paul had chosen to play this piece.
Well, we're both very passionate Schubertians, and I think we both felt that this Grand Duo, which is an extraordinary work, was not done often enough. And we wanted to dive in there and swim around and see what we could find. And there have been absolutely no regrets at all, I have to say.
I've read that Schubert probably wrote the duo to be played by teenage countesses of the Esterházys who were his students, and they would have played it as a piano duet, probably in an elegant salon, but not in a building the size of the Royal Albert Hall. Do you make any compromises, any changes in the way you approach this music for this enormous venue?
Well, maybe subconsciously, you know, every concert you play is in a different venue on a different piano, and you adjust as you go along. You know, you react to what you're hearing and what you're feeling. So inevitably there are going to be some changes, but I don't think we particularly make compromises. I think one is aware that when you have to project something out, you maybe have to be slightly more demonstrative in a space like this. But of course with Schubert, the big deal is how you shrink the hall, how you bring the walls in and bring the audience in. And that's, I think, perhaps the most important thing to be aware of.
I think it could be said also that the Esterházy girls were playing at amateur standard. I mean, they were good players, and Schubert played with them because he was in love with one of them. But the fact is, he composed a huge work. I mean, this was thought to be a symphony at some time. And to play it on one piano, I mean, much as we're very, very good pals, we do get in each other's way. We only have 50% of the keyboard each, which we're not used to. One of us can't pedal. It limits everything. So immediately we found that we could do this on two pianos and have already done some concert doing it that way. I think we grew, and much more important, the work grew and took on the status that I think we both think that it actually has, and that has been very thrilling.
Listening to you rehearse, I have the impression of an extrovert piece, certainly more extrovert than the solo sonata, which begins the concert. Is that a word that you would go along with?
Well, we can both talk about the solo sonata. This is C major and the other is C minor. Is it as easy as that? It's got a sort of outgoing enthusiasm to it. I wouldn't use the word enthusiasm in the C minor sonata, so would you agree, Paul?
Yeah, I think that the common denominator is a sense of the symphonic that both of these works have. Perhaps they're flip sides of at least a similar coin in some ways. But, it's that symphonic character that I think is common to both of these pieces.
There's something absolutely magical for us going from the darkness of the C minor ending into the opening of the C major. We were very keen that this should happen. And indeed, it's one of the reasons why I chose the C minor sonata, because I knew that the segue with the C major would be particularly wonderful.
Imogen Cooper and Paul Lewis. Well, those Esterházy girls played the Grand Duo seated side by side at one piano, but now Imogen Cooper and Paul Lewis are returning to the platform at the Royal Albert Hall to play the two pianos and play Schubert's Grand Duo.
Thank you.
Schubert's grand duo played on two pianos by Imogen Cooper and Paul Lewis, who embraced each other fondly centre stage, him in blue, she in red, to the delight of the Proms audience here. Well, my colleague Stephen Johnson has written an admirable programme note, well worth a look, I think you can see it online, in which he makes it very clear that there's a strong Beethovenian model for a lot of this piece, but as he said, perhaps it's simply the alchemy of genius. The end result always sounds like authentic Schubert. From Schumann to Donald Tovey, people have suggested through the years that this was a symphony in disguise, an arrangement of a lost orchestral score. You can see how the idea would take root, because in the bad old days when orchestral concerts were a rare luxury for most music lovers, that's obviously well before the days of the BBC Proms, piano duet versions of great symphonies were a especially popular way of getting to know this repertoire. So maybe it's, yes, a symphony in disguise for some people, but it's emphatically a glorious work for piano duet, fighting your way to get more of your bottom on the piano stool, or in this case, two pianos. Our players really relished being able to see each other as they played. And they're being received again with a fair amount of rapture, as you can hear. Well, the Proms are now drawing to an end. There are only two more sleeps before the last night. Tomorrow evening, live on Radio 3 at 7:30, Lauren Marzell conducts the Vienna Philharmonic in Bruckner's Eighth Symphony. And tonight's concert is, of course, available to listen again for 7 days via the Radio 3 website. But now it's time for me, Catherine Bott, to wish you a very good night as I hand you back to Broadcasting House and John Shea.
Thank you very much, Catherine. And in the first half of tomorrow night's prom, before Bruckner 8, Klaus Sonnleitner will be playing the Royal Albert Hall organ, music by one of Bruckner's idols, Johann Sebastian Bach. That prom begins tomorrow night at 7:30. And if you'd like to whet your appetite for the sound of the Royal Albert Hall organ, then don't forget in the afternoon tomorrow another chance to hear last Sunday night's prom by the Orchestre de Paris, conducted by Paavo Järvi, which ended with Saint-Saëns organ symphony, but also features Britten's violin concerto played by Janine Jansen. That's from 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
Pioneering artist Laurie Anderson traces the roots of possibly one of the most daring and popular of all contemporary art forms.
A retrospective of the work of Marina Abramović was presented in 2010 at the Museum of Modern Art in New York. In one part of the show, called The Artist is Present, she sat motionless for 3 months, while visitors could take a seat in front of her.
Living and Present, Laurie Anderson on Performance Art is the Sunday feature, Sunday night at 7:45 on BBC Radio 3.
This is BBC Radio 3 at 11 o'clock tomorrow night. Marianne Kennedy will be here with this week's World on 3. And in this week's programme, a studio session by the bagpiper James Duncan McKenzie, who has recently released his debut solo album. And the usual selection of new tracks from across the globe. That's World on 3 with Marianne Kennedy at 11 o'clock tomorrow night. Here on BBC Radio 3 this Thursday evening, it's 9:45, and time to join Nick Luscombe for Thursday's Late Junction.
Thanks very much, John. Yeah, tonight, bagpipes, fairground organs, Sudanese gamelan, all coming up. And we start with music from Austin Wintory from the soundtrack to Journey. Thank you. music from an ingenious and quite beautiful award-winning video game called Journey, which dynamically responds to the player's actions as you progress through the story. That was Threshold by American composer Austin Wintory, performed by the Macedonia Radio Symphonic Orchestra. And the soundtrack was awarded the first ever Grammy for a video game. Well, it's another slightly shorter show tonight because of the proms, of course. And if you were there tonight, let us know how it was via Twitter at BBC Radio 3, hashtag Late Junction, or send an email, late.junction@bbc.co.uk. Keeping it moving, the sound of London's Greg Folk group now with the new Vacula remix of Clear Skies Select Stick.